This episode of TopCast is brought to you by UCF Online. 20-plus years of award-winning online excellence, 75-plus online programs, one of the largest and most innovative universities in the U.S., ucf.edu/online. From the University of Central Florida's Center for Distributed Learning, I'm Kelvin Thompson.
And I am Tom Cavanaugh.
And you, yes you, my friend, are listening to TopCast, the Teaching Online podcast. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hi, Kelvin.
don't let me take you away from whatever you're doing over there.
Funny to find you sitting across from me in this podcast recording studio.
I've been here for the last 3 hours waiting for you to pay attention. Yeah.
Yeah, I've joined you now.
I'm glad. Yeah. Just for a moment of your attention, I appreciate.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you.
Because we are once again recording in the afternoon.
Yes.
And, got me a powerful thirst.
A powerful thirst.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I got some coffee for you.
Good.
Yep, here it is. I poured it all for you a moment ago there. You got it.
Yes.
We don't have the verisimilitude of the pouring right now, but there actually is. I can verify coffee in Tom's cup.
There is aroma that you cannot smell through our podcast technology yet.
Yep. Well, you want to know what this is, Tom?
Okay.
Is that a yes?
That's a yes.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you.
You're not going to tell me?
I'm not going to tell you. Sometimes you just have to go to the source.
Hi, this is Jordan. I'm a barista for Oxum Coffee at our roastery location. And today we are talking about the Ethiopian Sadamo. It's going to be about a medium roasted coffee. And we're brewing on a French press. And you can really expect flavors, some nice stone fruit flavors on the front. A very mild citrus and a very smooth and clean finish coming from this coffee with a really juicy body, and it's very nice. I hope you enjoy it.
Why, thank you, Jordan. Wasn't that nice?
Wow. We were suddenly transported.
Wasn't that great?
To a coffee.
Yeah, a roastery location.
Yeah.
Oxum Coffee Roasting in Winter Garden, Florida. So we'll put the location and stuff in the show notes. People are interested. So as appropriate for today's interview, Tom, sometimes you just got to cut out the middleman. You got to go straight to the source.
I get it. Well, that's cool. Well, thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Kelvin. The coffee's delicious. And since this is a podcast only marginally about coffee.
Only marginally.
Let's turn our attention to what we really want to talk about.
What's that again?
Which is online learning.
Oh, yes.
And we are going to go directly to the source.
Yes.
We have a real live student.
Wow.
Pickled? No. Pulled from his natural habitat.
Oh, yes.
And we've brought him in here to do a little ethnographic study, otherwise known as an informal interview over coffee.
That's right.
So we are joined by one of our awesome student workers, Alex DiCurno.
Hi, Alex.
Good afternoon to the both of you.
Hi. What are you drinking, Alex?
I'm drinking water.
Yeah, you're making a better healthy choice than either one of us.
I call it coffee clear.
Coffee clear, yeah. Pre-roasted coffee.
That's right.
That's right.
It's deconstructed coffee.
That's exactly right. Good. You could spend $20 for that in a high-end restaurant.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
So I have had the great privilege of seeing Alex in action. He has been a part of our panels that we do on occasion. When we do faculty training, we try to bring in students and have them share their experiences directly with faculty, and Alex has been a part of that. We have also had visits from various people, including some a delegation from the Gates Foundation that Alex was a part of, and just was really impressed with how he was able to articulate his experience as a student who's taken kind of a non-traditional path here to UCF. So, Alex, I wonder if maybe you can kind of introduce yourself, tell us about your major, what year you're in, and then we'll jump into some questions.
Sure. I'm Alex. I'm a computer science student here at UCF. I'm in my senior year, whatever that means at this point. I just have a ton of credits.
Yeah,
you know,
I
had three senior years.
Ah, so there you go.
Yeah. How many are you going to have?
Well, this should be the last one, hopefully.
The last one.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, certainly. Yeah, so it's my last year. I'm just finishing up a couple classes. I have a couple capstone classes left. supposed to graduate in the fall. That's not going to happen. So I'm graduating in the spring. So yes, hopefully this should be my last year.
Okay. Well, cool. And as a, you know, computer science student, you're working in the right place,
yes.
I think.
Yes. I happen to know
a little bit about your path to UCF, and I will ask you to reflect on that a little bit. But just for the listeners, you started at a large state university,
yes,
here in Florida. Things didn't quite work out the way you wanted them to.
Yes.
You took some time off, did some working,
mm-hmm.
went to our local state college partner,
yes,
and then through our Direct Connect to UCF program, ended up transferring to UCF.
Yes.
So all of that is true.
Yes.
I wonder if you could kind of talk a little bit about that experience. And as a student who did well in high school, you know, how that that journey has kind of impacted you and how you think about higher education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so high school for me was fairly easy, to be blunt. I didn't really try a whole lot. Everything kind of just came naturally. So college came along and I said, you know, it's...
How hard could this be?
Yeah, how hard can it be, really? Like, honestly, I was like, oh, you know, I've done all this stuff before. It's just gen eds. I got this. It'll be fine. Well, you know, college is a little different from high school. There's nobody telling you to get up in the morning. There's nobody telling you to go to class. Nobody telling you to do your work, this and that. Mm-hmm. Everything is on you. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go to class, stuff like that. And through the combination of some family stuff, mm-hmm. and just being a bad student, I had to leave. And I'm kind of tying this into how it's affecting me, right?
Yeah.
So I actually had to switch out of the major that I was going to do. I was going to do med school. Mm. That didn't work out. So it was always kind of like a dream of mine. And I actually did like a whole bunch of research and everything involving like med school. That didn't work out. Left the major university. Mm-hmm. Worked for quite a bit of time. I was doing medical research, and I went from medical research to working in fast food, mm-hmm. which, you know, fast food is a totally respectable line of work, mm-hmm. but it's quite a big difference mm-hmm. going from the two.
Yeah.
So those years, I guess it was about 2 years, mm-hmm. Quite a humbling experience, mm-hmm. you know, just working with the hungry masses, as I call them, and how they can treat you at some points. Mm. You know, I had a lot of time to think about why I'm going to school and, you know, if I'm going back to school and why I'm going to do it and how I was going to do it. And then I made a decision to move from the city that this major university was in, mm-hmm. move to Orlando and go to the state college that I attended. Mm-hmm. Worked while I was there. Mm-hmm. Much more humbling. Again, and while I was there, I still didn't have my act together as far as school. And I was like, oh, you know, now this is really easy, you know, like the state college classes, like I really have this, but I still wasn't doing the work because uh-huh. I thought it was so easy, right? Uh-huh. And I got to the point where I was just like, you know, I really have to get my stuff together. And then here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you're doing great now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much better.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, part of that is obviously some maturing.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
obviously has happened. But some of that is maybe finding a subject mm-hmm. that was really kind of more aligned with yeah. your interests and skills.
Yeah. So I would say that I've always been good working with computers mm-hmm. in general. And now that I'm here doing... I picked a major that I was like, oh, you know, I want to learn something new. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do something I'm good at because I like learning. Well, that didn't really work out. So I picked something I'm actually good at. Uh-huh. And it seems that, you know, picking the thing that you're actually good at is probably the best way to go.
Yeah. There's a tip, listeners.
Yeah, pro tip. Well, tell us a little bit about how online learning played into that mm-hmm. journey. You, I imagine, had to take some online classes because you were working and
either fully online or blended
yeah,
or whatever,
right.
any of that, right?
Both at the State College and here at UCF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, at the State University, I took maybe one fully online class. Uh-huh. At the State University, where there really wasn't a, like an LMS to kind of draw
oh, really?
Everything together.
Okay.
So it's a lot of outside. You have to pay for a membership and like WebAssign or some mm-hmm. Codacious mm-hmm. medical learning type of thing.
Interesting.
So you have to pay for that, mm-hmm. and then they just you know, the instructor has an account on this external service,
right.
And they check your grades through there.
Mm-hmm.
At the State College, I think it was Blackboard,
right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. It's not terrible. they all have their strengths.
How the classes are designed.
It's mostly how the classes are designed.
That's, that's at least what we contend, right?
Right.
That's what I always say, Tom.
Right. They're a lot more discussion-based as far mm-hmm. as online learning at State College, which I think is actually really good, you know, because you're really trying to sculpt a better student when you're at a State College. And then, you know, here at UCF, I've taken a couple of online learning or like fully online mm-hmm. classes, and I really enjoy how everything is actually blended together mm-hmm. with all your grades and your calendar assignments mm-hmm. and everything else. You don't have to go. You certainly don't have to pay to take your classes, and mm-hmm. everything is actually brought together. You can contact somebody in the same tool that you're actually doing your assignments in, and it just makes it really easy to actually go back and forth between the functionality.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to call that well-designed, Tom.
Let's call that.
I'm going to call that. Well, do you mind if I ask, Alex, so you talked about one online course back at your original university.
Sure.
At least one at State College, and then at least one here at UCF.
Mm-hmm.
Were your motivations to take online courses the same at each of those three places, or were there, I mean, in some cases, was it because you had to, there was no other option, or what was your decision-making process at each of those three institutions?
So I'd say that my my motivations between the three reflects my my maturity at those points.
Okay, all right, tell us.
So at the first State University, I took an online class. I think it was a medical terminology class,
mm-hmm.
and I heard it was the easiest class on campus.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, that's certainly what I want. Mm. So that's what
Sign
I did.
Sign me up.
That's exactly what I did. I said, okay, so it's the easiest class on campus. I'll take that. And I got an A in it, and you know, so that's why I was taking online classes then.
Because it was only offered online?
Yeah, it was only offered online, uh-huh. right.
Okay.
Now there's that old, you know, idea that online classes are always the easiest. So I was like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I've taken this online class and that was fine.
Uh-huh.
I'll take another.
Convenience uh-huh. equals easier, right?
Right? Yeah. Which it did not.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that plays into the whole trend of not doing well and then having to leave.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now when I was at the State College, I took an online class because I was working so much.
Uh-huh.
'Cause this got to the point where I think it took like mostly online classes for my time at the State College, just
okay.
because I had to work to live. You know, mm-hmm. I had to work to pay my rent, to buy food mm-hmm. and everything. And
right.
I was driving so far to work anyways mm-hmm. that's the only thing that really worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
So either that or take classes at like 8 o'clock at night and go back to work after that.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm here at UCF, I think it just really works with the, I think the stuff here at UCF, it's the class is more interesting, you know, at least like the online offerings compared to the State College where I was before. So that works a lot better for me because now I'm actually saying, oh, let me pick something that I like to learn, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, these are classes in your major now.
No, actually, not all of them.
Huh. Really?
Okay. So I actually had like a technical writing course. That one's in the major.
Hmm.
But I had like a political and economy class.
Hmm.
And I said, that would be interesting to take.
Hmm.
I haven't taken a class that I haven't had to take for a long time just for fun.
mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I thought it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now I guess I'm just looking for things that work within my schedule. I don't have to really work to live anymore and
uh-huh.
I'm not working all the time,
mm-hmm.
but it does fit my lifestyle.
Right. Sure. So, well, and you work for us.
Yes, I work for you guys.
Part-time.
Right.
Well, I wonder if you can kind of share, based on your experience, you know, what you think a good online course is versus a bad online course. And that can be particular characteristics. And
mm-hmm.
and maybe think about it through the lens of what do students expect in an online class and what should they expect?
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
sometimes there's a disconnect between what students expect and what faculty expect.
Mm-hmm.
So what students expect, I'm an older student, so mm-hmm. at this point I kind of know how the game goes.
Alex doesn't sound it, but he's actually 84 years old.
Right, right, at least on the inside.
That's right.
Right.
It's an old soul.
Yes, very old, I've been told so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Some students expect that it's going to be easier, that the time is going to be less. Like, I won't have to be in class all the time. I don't have to go to class. Like, oh, you know, I should just be able to do all my work and be done. What they should expect is that, you know, it could actually take a lot longer of a time since you're not in front of a class. There's a lot more information that you have to take in on your own now. And really depending on how that instructor tests you on that material, you know, you can really not take a whole lot of time, or you can be like that political economy class that I took, and the professor will test you on every single piece of text that you read, and I learned that really quick. I'm sorry, did you say what faculty should expect, or?
Yeah, well, kind of answer it however you want. Kind of what makes a good course? Like, kind of what would be advice for a faculty member?
I think what makes a good course is that really, for me, communication is key. Really, whatever software you're using, stuff like that, it's not going to help you all that much unless you as a faculty member, you as an instructor, are really like communicating to your students. You don't have to talk with them all the time because, honestly, if I were an instructor, I wouldn't want to. But I know how students can be sometimes.
I wouldn't want to talk to me.
Right. Yeah. I know how students can be sometimes. But just being clear with communication and stuff like that. And sometimes the software makes it easier for that.
Now, when you say communication, communication about what?
Communication of deadlines, of expectations, my responsibilities as a student. Because if I know what the instructor is expecting me up front at the beginning of the course, then, you know, maybe at drop week I can say, oh, well, you know, maybe that's expecting a little bit too much of me. And I drop like the class before I'm in the class.
Even that expectation you talked about a while ago of like maybe at first you expect that it'll be less work and it's actually more work, or communicating that front would be helpful.
Exactly. So yeah, I had a that technical writing class I took, I originally registered for a certain section and I saw that they wanted Facebook and this and that. They wanted us to do a lot of our stuff through social media. And at this point I don't have social media. I've kind of taken myself out of that equation. But the fact that they communicated that up front instead of saying, oh, okay, you know, halfway through the semester, get on your social media accounts, we're going to submit our assignments through there now. You know, I was glad that she was very upfront, said, hey, this is how you're going to do it. And I said, okay, I'm not taking this class.
I'm out.
Yeah. And I really respected that.
Clarity. That's good.
Cool. You know, we hear a lot, and you've kind of alluded to this, that, is online learning, quote, as good as face-to-face learning. In your experience as a student, do you have those conversations with your classmates? Do you compare notes, or does it not even come up?
As far as online versus face-to-face? At this point, I don't have a lot of online classes left. They don't offer my major, any of my major classes online. But I will say that sorry, you said online versus face-to-face, right?
Yeah, is it as good as?
Personally, I think it's as good as face-to-face. But it's also a lot of with the, you know, the instructor being very clear up front. It's like it's an effort type of thing, you know? If I see somebody putting in the effort that I'm being expected to put into this course, then I'm much more willing to put forth that effort. So if that instructor is saying, here's what I'm doing, here's what you're doing, it's going to be great.
Right.
And that's when I think it's as good as face-to-face. If they're using online as a tool to kind of, you know, cast off the students and only deal with them when they have to, then that's when it's not as good, because I can tell when that's happening. And if I can tell when that's happening, I'm sure other students can too.
Sure. Know? Well, we often say that faculty who are good teachers regardless of modality.
Regardless of, medium.
The same ones that are good in the classroom are probably good online,
because
some of those behaviors transcend modality.
It does, yeah.
Alex, you mind if I follow up from that a little bit?
Sure.
Tom and I've talked about this some recently, that there's certainly a related school of thought, which is, well, like you described your state college experience, working students, non-traditional, you know, life issues, okay, I can see the online course, online program thing, but, you know, like university, high level, high achieving, high expectation students, they're really, we shouldn't really be relying on online courses. So is it, I thought I heard you expressing a different perspective that, like, you might still elect to take online courses even though you're very engaged on campus and in your coursework
right.
and so forth. You want to comment on that? Is there a real place for online courses for everybody, do you think?
I think so. Honestly, I think that most students, if not all of them, should take at least one online course.
Why?
I really think that people should diversify the way that they learn, the way that they encounter information, the way that they encounter people in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's just me in general. Uh-huh. That's something that I try to do throughout my life. But I think it does have a place. Like, honestly, if they offered more of my classes online, I totally take them. Because I think a lot of these classes would benefit from the kind of like the rewind and forward, like the rewind and playback of online, you know, being online. You can look at things and say, oh, you know, I still have classes that I can go back now and look at the material from last year. And it certainly prepares me for like any like coding interviews or like internship things that I'm like looking for now. Now, if this was just like a face-to-face thing, I would not have that opportunity. I'd have to go look at my notes. And to tell you the truth, I don't take great notes. So the fact that I can go online and go, oh, wow, this is great. Like these like really good instructors have like really good notes that I can go back and look at, you know?
Good.
Well, as I'm sort of looking at the clock, I wonder if you could comment on, now, you know, it's hard to kind of look in the rearview mirror and know for certain, but if online learning hadn't existed for you in your path that you took, particularly as you described your experience working while you were at the State College, I mean, do you think you'd be here now, or would you still be at the State College, or would you just not have been able
to... Or that fast food place?
Yeah, would you still be there because you just couldn't carve time during normal hours to go to class?
I don't know if I'd actually be in school. So the answer to would I be in school? Probably not. Because honestly, at that point in my life, I was working so much. It was a real requirement for me. Like, it was either work or be homeless, work or you starve, you know? So, and you know, when you're doing that, you're like, well, I don't want to keep working in this job, so I have to figure out something that works. Now, if they didn't have online classes to help me do that, then I'd probably be still where I am, you know, save for some magical cash infusion where I wouldn't have to work. But barring that, because that's never happened to me.
We're all waiting for that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, I really think that if those online opportunities were not there, then I would still probably be where I was originally, like at the State College or trying to get into the State College or at least lengthening the amount of time that I spent there.
Well, I don't know. Speaking for myself, I think it's a real testament to your grit, to your perseverance that you've been able to kind of navigate all of that with collections of credits from a couple of different institutions and to not give up. And,
No kidding.
The finish line is in sight.
Yes, thank you.
And as much as we want to wish you success, you know, we want you to keep working here, too.
Well, I like it here, so.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. Kelvin, any final comments that you want to make?
I guess maybe this... Maybe too abstract a question, but, you know, we talked about student perspectives and faculty perspectives and all, but, you know, there's people like us, like Tom and I, administrators, instructional designers, those kind of folks who help shape what online education looks like at other institutions. Any words of wisdom at, like, that high level? You know, boy, more of this. Less Facebook. More. I don't know. What it could be anything you want to say. And I say that just because you said, well, Facebook, I'm out, you know, but whatever.
I think going forward, I think, like Tom said, the people who are already great teachers and great educators are going to be great in whatever modality. I would just say, keep up what you're doing. We all recognize it. I mean, there's some students who really don't care, but there's a great majority of us who can tell who are the really great educators and teachers, and we really respect you guys for that. And just... keep putting in the effort that we already see that you're putting into face-to-face. Because if we see that you're doing it whenever modality you're doing, we respect that and we respond so much more what you would like. I guess so much more strongly or properly, so to speak. Because we respect that and we want to put in the same amount of effort that we see the teacher putting into it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I've actually heard that before.
Yeah.
If the teacher phones it in, why shouldn't the student?
Right. Yeah, that's rough though, right? Yeah. Well, so as a, here, I'll put this out there, Tom and Alex. So maybe I'll summarize it this way. So for people like us, Alex, Tom and I and our listeners, as online education professionals, we've developed expertise from scholarship and from our professional experiences that guides our work. But for successful online education initiatives with continued relevance to students, it's incumbent upon us to regularly hear from students like you about your experiences, just to keep us well grounded. We feel good about that?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, as you guys know, we hold a all-hands meeting with our staff once a semester, and we almost always try to bring in somebody to represent the student voice, whether it's a panel of students who have disabilities, who need accommodation, military students, student athletes, you know, transfer students, whatever it is, you know, we really do think it's important that we continually listen to the voice of the students, even for those staff that don't regularly interact with students, which is why this conversation has been really, really interesting, and we have probably a whole page worth of questions we didn't get to.
Oh, yeah. Easily. And, you know, and not to say that we've got this all figured out, Tom, you and I have talked about even recently of continuing to look for new ways to hear that student voice. So I think that's something we would encourage all of our colleagues around the world to do. Just more connections with students is the way to go. Stay relevant here. Well, before we wrap up, you know, if you haven't visited the Topcast website, please do so. There's all kinds of show note information. We'll probably have a photo of Alex there on the show notes and see his coffee clear and I don't know. We always have stuff every episode that's relevant and
Topcast.
Fun.
Topcast.online.ucf.edu. Thank you.
Yes. And hey, if you've been listening to Topcast, this your first time or you've been listening for a while, it really does make a difference if you go to iTunes and leave a star rating behind or a little even one sentence review. That helps the algorithms gin up to people like you, Topcast, so it connects people. And, you know, we've been plugging this for a little bit. Be a registered listener. We'd like to know who you are. We're going to give you some free additional content and whatnot. So go to bit.ly/TopcastClub, bit.ly/TopcastClub, lowercase, no spaces. And, you know, we'll send you a little newsletter. We'll give you some freebie stuff, and you'll be glad that you did. That being said, until next time for Topcast, I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Tom.
See ya.